What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Essilor of America is recognizing those eye care professionals who embody the company's mission of improving lives by improving sight with its Difference Makers campaign. At the microsite EssilorUSA.com/DifferenceMakers, you can bring an eye care professional's good deeds into focus by nominating them to join Essilor on a mission trip to Southeast Asia in 2019. Nominations close on November 30th, so be sure to recognize those doctors and eye care specialists in your community that are making a difference.
Greetings, colleagues, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. My name is Dr. Daryl Glover, and along with me is the lovely Dr. Jennifer Lyerly. And today we're going to continue celebrating our difference makers in the optometric industry. Friends and family, this week's difference maker is Paul O'Rourke. Thank you for hanging out with us today, Paul.
Great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your background, Paul.
Hi, my name's Paul O'Rourke. I am the president of Vision Health International. I'm in the Denver area. I have to confess right off the top that I'm not an eye care or a medical professional. I'm actually a writer and a historian, but over close to 20 years now, I've been involved in just about every aspect of vision care with Vision Health International, save surgery, of course. And I've done vision screening, I've fit eyeglasses, I've done auto refractions, I've actually measured patients prior to cataract surgery. Behind the scenes, I do a little bit of newsletter writing, annual reports, and help with fundraising. But I think most importantly, I consider myself a member of a team, a very important team that we work as a group over the course of our field programs with a wide range of skills and professions and personalities. And ultimately, that team is what leads to the success of our Vision Health International program. And I'm confident that if you talk to any one of our hundreds of volunteers, they'd tell you the same thing. I'm happy to be here talking with you.
How did you get involved with Vision Health International?
I became acquainted with Vision Health International through my wife, Melinda, who is an ophthalmologist. In 1998, while attending the American Academy of Ophthalmology meetings in New Orleans, she was looking for an organization to which she could volunteer her time and talent, and happened by the VHI booth at the exhibition hall. And talking with the person at the booth, became apparent that they had both been in Ecuador at the same time in the mid-1970s doing inoculations for the population there. Melinda looked down at the information sheet at the VHI booth and saw that one of the board of directors was a man with whom she went to her residency program with. So it was basically just too much serendipity to ignore. And even though I was informed of the decision, I really didn't have much say in the fact that both of us were signed up to go on our first program to León, Nicaragua in 1999. And I guess you could say the rest is history.
So Vision Health International was founded back in 1985, and it is a huge program. It includes health officials, ophthalmologists, optometrists, registered nurses, and volunteers and local health officials from all different aspects of healthcare. Since 1985, they've provided over 35,000 eye examinations and dispensed over 26,000 pairs of eyeglasses and protective eyewear. And not to mention the surgeries that they performed, over 6,000 sight-restoring and life-altering surgeries, and also teaching seminars. And that's something that you guys are trying to build the healthcare community around it. So, Mr. Work, I'd love to hear, more about the mission from your perspective.
In fact, we have just recently revised our mission statement. Prior to now, it was a little cumbersome. It's probably a full paragraph long. But we wanted to compose a statement that would be easily remembered and speak to the things that VHI does and represents. So our new mission statement is bringing high-quality eye care to underserved communities around the world. And when we say underserved communities, we're not just talking about patients. We're talking about physicians and medical professionals in the countries that we serve, including the United States. So I think that says pretty succinctly what it is that VHI does.
One thing that I love about the organization is that you guys don't just go one place and just leave right after that. You actually continue to come back and serve those folks, and you're able to follow up. For example, if someone has a cataract procedure, you're able to follow up in regards to, post-care management. And if you see someone that may have diabetic retinopathy or hypertensive retinopathy, you're able to follow back up with those patients and make sure that they're doing the appropriate treatment plan.
That's a great point about going back. I think if you could redefine our mission, which is bringing high quality eye care to underserved communities around the world, what we're really trying to accomplish in every location we visit is to put ourselves out of work. I'll give you an example. We conducted field programs, maybe I would say a dozen, maybe 13, to Piura, Peru. When we first went there, the newly built hospital had a lot of patients. It's a very poor region of Peru. There is no real health insurance. There's a great deal of poverty and unemployment, and there were no supplies. We began our program there in 2005, doing cataract surgery and fitting eyeglasses. Over the course of time, our services led to a recognition in the government that vision care leads to cultural, social, and economic change. When you restore sight for one person, you're actually empowering the entire family to go back to school, to go back to work. The government began supplying the hospital with additional funds, with one public health ophthalmologist to begin with. There are now five in this one particular hospital. And in fact, the services requested of VHI over time, getting into 2010, 2011, and 12, was we need some instruction. So we went down and did some cataract instruction, strabismus instruction, and we got to the point a couple of years ago where it was very clear to everyone involved that our services were really no longer required. It was kind of bittersweet that we weren't going back, but on the other hand, it was very important to get to that point because we did, in fact, put ourselves out of work for the benefit of the patients in that particular community.
Let's talk about a typical day in the life of a VHI clinic. I mean, what would an average day for a doctor or a volunteer be like?
There's two major components of a VHI program, our surgery and our eye clinics, which includes the eyeglass program. Each of our programs are a little bit different in scope. Some are full scale, combining both elements. Some are surgery only. Some are eye clinic and eyeglass only. So the number of volunteers that participate vary from program to program. Maybe 20 to 25 on a large scale program, maybe 8 to 10 on a smaller program. And I found your question interesting, Jen, about a normal day on a VHI field program. I guess my first thought when you mentioned that was, while there are average days, I don't know that I could ever describe a day with VHI as normal. Each day is a little bit different, filled with, you know, some of the unexpected, whether, as you might guess, in Latin America, we've had electrical problems, equipment problems, a few glitches here and there, all of which we've overcome. The weather and the politics is always changing in Latin America, so we're always thrown a curveball, as you might expect on any particular trip. And at the same time, there's always a little bit of magic, a patient's outcome that was unexpected to the benefit of the patient and family. The camaraderie that builds between the volunteers is something that I find that happens on the average, but it's always heartwarming to see a group bond together. And the overall experience of the team, and I'll go back to that team concept, because that's what VHI is what really makes the organization. At the end of a trip, it's sometimes difficult to come up with an answer to the question, who benefits most from VHI? Is it the patient or is it the provider? And in a way, I think it's both. The experience of a VHI trip obviously brings benefits to the patients, but it's the caregivers as well that really come away thinking, wow, this is, I'm grateful being a part of this group.
That was so beautiful to hear. You know, we know that medical care is science-based, right? But for those of us who practice optometry, we also very much know that there's that magic, that art to what we do that's so vital to the care that we give. And to hear you talk about that and what makes this mission so important for you. It just really is so a beautiful concept and thought to hear that that magic is what touches people's lives.
Well said, Jen.
Indeed.
So for those that want to actually be a part of this, whether they have a medical background or non-medical background, what are the steps in regards to becoming a volunteer?
Well, I would say the first thing to do, and what I recommend to everyone who inquires of the same thing, is to go to our website, which is www.visionhealth.org. And the website will give you a great deal of background about what the organization is, what it does, where it goes, and how to get involved. We have an email contact at visionhealthintl@gmail.com. Or if you want to write a letter, we're always happy to get it. Vision Health International, P.O. Box 597, Grand Junction, Colorado, 81502. Or if you want to talk to somebody, you might get a message, but we'll call you right back at 970-462-7279. So any of those methods would be a way to find out what VHI is doing and answer the questions that you might have.
What kind of support are you getting to make these missions happen? I know Essilor has donated equipment so that patients, you know, when they get their eye exam, they can actually get their real prescriptions cut into lenses before they leave. So they aren't getting donated glasses. They're getting freshly cut lenses made in their real prescriptions. So what kind of equipment and donations are really vital to your success?
Think of it like this. As a VHA program to Latin America is simply the picking up of a complete eye clinic and maybe two operating rooms, including the various components in terms of supplies and equipment, and getting them all to the site location in Latin America. It's something that we do. It takes an incredible amount of planning. It's a dozen duffel bags and suitcases of microscopes and diagnostic equipment. All are divvied out to the various participants that hand carry them in country. But the extent of the equipment is getting better and better thanks to some recent grant funds and donations. Our equipment is now upgrading. We've now initiated field programs in the United States where we have a greater capacity to bring the types of equipment that we really need to do those prescriptions on site. In Denver, most recently, we had four lanes of complete equipment. We recently, in June, had a program to the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, where we had, again, four complete lanes of equipment with which we could measure prescriptions. And I, before we go, I want to make sure that I mention that Rosebud field program, because during that, we saw over 1,200 patients, both adults and kids, over 80% of whom had severe astigmatism. We, with the help of Essilor USA and the Essilor Vision Foundations, made over 900 pairs of prescription eyeglasses for those patients. We wouldn't have been able to do that without Essilor and the foundation. It was an amazing partnership that evolved from that. And we were able to provide expert, up-to-date vision correction for those over 900 patients during that one trip. And we're hoping to continue our domestic programming. We have a trip planned to the Crow Reservation in Montana in August. We'll go back to our Stout Street Clinic in Denver this April. And so we're not only international, but we're now focused in the United States as well.
That is so exciting to hear that doctors that want to get involved but maybe can't travel internationally for some reason, they can still get involved here in our own backyard in the United States.
Yes, indeed.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask if you have a story or a patient experience that has really touched your life personally.
My wife and I were in Ecuador in 2014 as part of the roving eyeglass team, going out to various small villages up in the Andes. On, I think it was midweek, we were at a small agricultural town. It was more like a village, and didn't seem to be a whole lot of action going on in the clinic that day. We saw maybe 50 to 75 patients in the morning, most of whom had age-related vision correction needs, and we were easily taking care of that. We noticed, however, during the course of the day, there was a young woman kind of hanging in the periphery, kind of watching what was going on. She was very lively, happy looking, very healthy looking, kind of almost too sure of herself. She was just kind of strutting around, kind of observing what was going on, but kind of interested in what was going on. After lunch, we came back and we're going to resume the clinic, and she was at the front of the line. I said, oh, good, she's going to get her eyes checked. No sooner had she stepped to the line and covered her left eye, she broke out in tears. It was obvious that she couldn't see the eye chart. She could barely see the hand in front of her face. My wife, the ophthalmologist, spent probably 45 minutes to an hour with her, with the autorefractions and trial lenses and frames. And after a bit of time, during which this young woman was in tears the whole time, came to the conclusion that she was minus 18, minus 19 in that range. And my wife led this young woman outside with the trial lenses on her face and showed her where she lived, which we have to imagine was the first time she saw that place. We did make the glasses for her. They were returned to her. My only regret is that I wasn't there when the new pair of lenses were placed on her nose. And I could only imagine that this young woman's life was made better due to the fact that VHI was there for her.
Daryl, it is just so moving to hear stories like this.
Absolutely, Jim.
I have patients coming in with keratoconus, and they have similar, minus 18, minus 20 vision. And the big E, that is not something that they can see. To be able to give someone who is functionally blind their vision back, I mean, that's a gift of life that cannot be underestimated.
Another thing comes to mind as it concerns experiences with Vision Health International on field programs. The emotional contact with patients and their outcomes is one avenue of experience that stays with a volunteer for their life. But one additional experience that I've had actually comes via my children. Both my son and my daughter, when they were in high school, participated on a VHI field program. We do have a 16-year-old age requirement, but both of my children have gone on trips to Latin America, and from my perspective, they came home different people, older people, more mature people, more sure of themselves, and made more whole maybe from the experience. I don't want to be too trite about this, but I know it's something that they'll never forget. It's an attitude that they came home with from seeing things that they may have read about, they may have seen in books and newspapers, but experiencing firsthand some of the things that people lived through in Latin America made them realize how important Vision Health International is and how important it is to take a look at what people are living through in their communities. I said both were in high school at the time, and my son, think about high school boys for a minute and what high school boys are typically about. My son came home and basically said, "This is the coolest thing that I've ever been a part of." And I think if you asked him today if such was still the case, I think he'd say yes.
Nice.
He took a camera with him on a trip to Peru in 2005 and filmed his experience. Came home and showed the film as his senior project to his fellow students and friends. And everyone remarked at how wonderful a job he did. In fact, from that experience, he went on to go to Cal State at Northridge, majoring in film production. So it's just his experience with Vision Health International was life-changing on many different levels.
Wow, amazing work, Paul. I mean, this is why we consider you a difference maker. I want to just thank you on behalf of all eye care professionals throughout the world for making a difference in Latin America and the United States and your children's lives. I mean, you really made a world of difference, and that's why we consider you a difference maker. Thank you, Paul.
Well, you're welcome. As I mentioned, I have no medical or eye care background. I started out helping out in vision screening, pointing to the eye chart. I don't speak a whole lot of Spanish. And as I mentioned to you, I wrote a few newsletter articles. All of a sudden, I was appointed head of fund development. And then all of a sudden, somebody said, "Well, you should be the vice president." And now, you know, several years from that, I'm now serving as the president. So it's been a life-changing experience for me. I have to say, such as what happened with my kids, the same happened with me. To borrow from a Jack Nicholson movie, I think Vision Health International has helped make me a better man.
I like it, Paul. Well, in addition to making you a better man, let's make the organization even better. And I know in order to make that happen, you guys need money. So let's talk about donations. What's the best way for one to donate money if they're not able to physically volunteer?
Well, obviously, we're a small organization, and individual donations is what sustains us. We are thrilled to gain new support and new supporters and new donors. The best way to do it is to go to our website, www.visionhealth.org. There is a donation page on the website. You're certainly welcome to contact us via email. And other than dollars, we are always looking for ophthalmic and optical equipment, eyeglasses. So it doesn't have to necessarily be dollars, although we will certainly welcome dollars as they come in too.
Awesome. This is great information, Paul. Friends and family, just make sure that you check out our companion post. We'll have the link. So if you want to donate, you can make it happen. Keep in mind that they're looking for volunteers, whether you're in the medical profession or you're not in the medical profession. They also take money, but also they'll take equipment. So if you have any of the aforementioned, make it happen and let's donate to the VHI organization. These guys are really making an imprint in Latin America, but also in the United States as well. Paul, what's the takeaway from this podcast? What is the one thing that you want all our followers and listeners to know about your organization?
VHI is a group of individuals. It's an organization composed of individuals with a variety of skills and backgrounds. It is a team. We work as a team. We've grown together as a team. There's no one individual that is indispensable. We all work to sustain and extend our mission. And as a result, with that team, as long as the mission stays in place, we'll always be looking forward to doing more work in the world.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.